I want to talk to you on the topic home away from home. Home away from home. And basically, my thesis is that there comes a time, oftentimes, in the life of a Christian person where heaven seems a million miles away. And God seems to be remote or distant. Yet there still seems to be on our heart a mandate from the Lord to worship Him with everything that we are. And there's always, no matter where we are, no matter what the circumstance, there's always an invitation, there's always a mandate, a command from the Lord to worship Him, to love Him. With all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. But there are some times when that seems more difficult. It seems like as we try to worship God, like there's this gap of distance that sometimes seems to grow wider and wider. Yet we realize, no matter how we feel, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the trial, no matter what the trouble, we still have the same mandate to worship God, to give Him everything that we are, to bless His name as we do during our best days and our best times. Question is, how do we go about doing it? How do we go about worshiping God and blessing the Lord and thanking God and praising God when heaven seems a million miles away? I've been working on a topic over the last month or two entitled Worship in the Wilderness, and the more I study it, the more it opens up to me. And I'm reminded of the mandate that God gave to His people when they were in the wilderness to build a tabernacle and to worship Him there, to honor Him there. Now, you and I first have got to remind ourselves of the distinction between the tabernacle and the temple. The temple came later, and it was after the people of Israel entered into the promised land, after they had defeated all of their enemies, after they had established themselves as a people, after they had a place to call their own, after they had received the fulfillment of the promises of God. And it was then that they built the temple. And it was an established place. It had a firm foundation. And from there, they lifted up their prayers and their praise, and they acknowledged the goodness of God and the mercy of God. But the tabernacle was different. The tabernacle was not made of these sturdy stones. You have to remind yourself, the temple was built of bricks, what we would call, when we think of a brick, we think of something about this size. But for them, the stones were almost as big as this platform. The thing was massive. It was huge. And when Jesus told the disciples, you know, many, many, many years later, that not one stone would stay upon another, they were absolutely flabbergasted. They couldn't believe the idea that this huge, established, well-founded thing could be shaken because it was that firm. The tabernacle was different. The tabernacle was a tent, literally. It was put together according to the pattern of God, but it did not have the same sturdiness, the same foundation. It was basically a tent surrounded by curtains. It was not in the established community. It was not during the time that all of the promises were being fulfilled. They were still just promises. And it was not in their homeland, in their established land. It was in the midst of the wilderness. It was a place of worship nonetheless. And the mandate to worship God in the tabernacle was no less than the mandate to worship God in the temple. Even though they were not yet fully established, even though they had not yet fully appropriated all of the promises of God, even though they were not yet where they were going, even though they were still surrounded by danger and darkness and dearth, they were still required and invited to worship the Lord with everything that they were. Now, it's important for you and for me to grasp this reality, because sometimes we feel as though we are in the temple period, where we are fully founded and fully established, and there seems to be all of the fulfillment of the promises of God all around us, and everything seems to be moving in the direction that we would hope. And then there are other times when we feel like we're in the tabernacle period, where we are surrounded, as it were, by our enemies in the spirit. And when the place of worship doesn't seem as sturdy, it seems like any wind could just blow it over. And yet the mandate to worship is the same. Now consider the history of the people of Israel. They are coming out of Egypt. For all of their lives, anybody that was coming out at that time, all of their lives, everything that they were, was seriously challenged. They were victims of oppression and of abuse. They knew nothing of liberty or freedom. They're coming from a background of pain, of anguish, and they are walking into what God has promised them with this residue of memory. They know what it is to be abused by the enemy. And yet, as they are walking out of that, with this residue still in their heart, they are being asked to worship God as though none of these things ultimately mattered. Not only that, but now they walk into a wilderness. So they have all of the issues of the past, and now they have the trials of the present. Sometimes they don't have enough water. Sometimes they don't have enough food. They are surrounded by their enemies, by the Moabites and by the Ammonites and by the Hittites and by the people that had no respect or regard for their God or for their way. It got cold at night, very, very hot during the day. And I'm sure in the back of their minds, they could still hear the threats of their oppressors saying, "I will catch up with you. I will eventually get you." And in the midst of that, they are asked to basically put up a tent. In the midst of all of their struggle, in the midst of all of their difficulty, in the midst of all of their memories and their worries with regard to whether or not they will eventually enter into the promise, they're asked to put up a tent. It probably looked like a flimsy tent if you compare it to the pyramids that they had seen the Egyptians put together. It probably seemed flimsy if you would compare it to the elements that were all around them, the winds and the rains and all of these things. It probably looked flimsy. Yet they were asked to put it up anyway. And they were given a pattern, and they were to follow that pattern to the letter. And so they did. They simply put up the tent. And then they were asked to worship God there. to bless him with all of their heart and with all of their soul and with all of their might. Nothing else changed. They were still in the wilderness. Certainly they were being supernaturally provided for, but even that was day to day, and every day they had to hope for it, and every day they had to believe for it. Every day they had to basically pray, give us this day our daily bread. It still got cold at night. It still was unbearably hot in the day. It still was a barren wasteland where they were at that point in their life. Nothing changed, except there was given to them a mandate to take what they had and to build a tent so that they could worship the Lord. I can imagine somebody at that time in their life saying, but I know that God has made a promise, and I know that eventually I will enter into the promised land, and I know that I'll enter into a land flowing with milk and honey. I'll enter into a land where I am benefiting from the labors of others, where I'm living in houses that I never built, and where I'm reaping from vineyards and from fields that I never planted. I know that's going to happen. And when that happens, then we can build a house for the Lord. And we can build a house of worship. But only when that happens will I be able to worship the Lord the way he deserves to be worshiped. Only when that happens will I be freed up to worship the Lord in the way that he deserves to be worshiped. But as long as I'm in the wilderness, I can't do it. How can I put up a tent when the wind is perpetually blowing? And how can I set up a place of worship when I can't even dig a foundation? And how can I give myself to this kind of worship when there are fears all around me? If it's not the surrounding nations, then it's the beasts of the field. And there is this perpetual distraction. How can I set up worship here when I can barely forget what happened to me in Egypt? When it's still festering in my mind and it's still, as it were, boiling within me. I don't even know how to work out the emotions. Part of me is afraid and part of me is angry and part of me feels abused and part of me feels neglected and part of me feels left out in the middle of nowhere. How can I build a tent for the Lord here? How can I give myself to that kind of worship here? Heaven seems a million miles away, and I don't feel like I have a home. Egypt was not my home, and I've not entered into the Canaan land, so what am I supposed to do in this limbo? Basically, what I'm suggesting is there are going to be times when worship seems a million miles away. When heaven seems a million miles away. When you feel like tomorrow might be a better time, a more appropriate time. Because right now my present is a little bit scary and my past seems to be catching up with me. But I'm suggesting to you that according to the Holy Scriptures, now is the time to build a tent for the glory of God. Now is the time, amen, hallelujah, to enter into the kind of worship that God has invited you to and me to, irrespective of how we might feel or irrespective of how real the challenge is. I can imagine the high priest as the temple has been built. And he's going in as a representative of the people of Israel. So in a very real sense, the entire people of Israel are going into this place called the Holy of Holies. And they're going into this place right smack in the midst of the wilderness, right smack in the midst of all of the difficulty, of all of the challenges, of all of the trial, of all of the memories, and of all of the concerns for the future. Right smack in the midst of it, they simply choose to build a tent for the worship of the Lord, and then they enter into that quiet place. They enter into that holy place. Imagine this man walking into this little room called the Holy of Holies. And when he walks into that room, the first thing that he notices is that heaven is depicted all around him, all on the walls. And you see the cherubim and so on. And you realize that even in the midst of the wilderness, by taking a step of obedience, that is to say, I choose to worship God, irrespective of the present circumstances, irrespective of the memories, irrespective of the apprehensions with regard to the future, I choose to worship God right here and now. Soon as he walks into that place, he realizes he's entered into another dimension. You see, when you and I choose to worship God, it doesn't matter where we happen to be. It doesn't matter where we happen to be in life. And it doesn't matter where we happen to be physically. We can be in our home. We can be walking down the road. We can be on the train. We can be riding in our car. We can be anywhere at any given time. We can be at our job. We can be at school. We can be anywhere. And at any given time, we could set up this portable place of worship. I mean, we can set up our tent anywhere. And when we enter into that tent, we realize that as far away from home as we might have felt, soon as we enter into that tent, soon as we enter into that Holy of Holies, soon as we enter into that place of worship, that place of praise, that place of thanksgiving, that place of meditation, that consideration of the way of the Lord, and the times where we just chat with him and ask him questions and hear his heart and as it were, open our heart to him, soon as we enter into that place, we realize we've entered into another dimension. You see, prayer is a wonderful thing. Searching the Holy Scriptures is a wonderful thing. Interacting with God's people is a wonderful thing because what it does is it reminds us that there is another world that we happen to be citizens of. We are children of heaven, and we have access into the heavenlies at any given time. We don't have to wait until we die to go to heaven. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, there is a glorious, glorious heaven on the other side of eternity, and we're going to rejoice in that place, not only heaven, but a new earth, everything that's, you know, all those things that are promised. But in the meantime, everything that God promises to us, there is an already aspect of it and a not yet aspect of it. So there was the temple, and then there was, or rather there was the tabernacle, and then there was the temple. There is always an already but not yet element of every promise that God makes to us. There's a portion of it that we can receive now, and then there's an element that we have to wait for later. Now think about this. When you and I, no matter where we are, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the difficulty, no matter what the trial, when you and I choose to build a tabernacle, to build a portable place of worship, and we can do that wherever we are, whenever we choose, we immediately access heaven. Now, remember the Bible tells us that our war, the fights that we fight, So they are not physical fights. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. The Bible says that our warfare is in the heavenlies. That we're fighting against powers and spirits and principalities in the heavenlies. Remember, the Bible again talks about Elisha and how the armies of the king in that time was coming against him. And when the armies came against him, his servant, his minister, Gehazi, was a bit worried and nervous. And Elisha just prayed a certain prayer. Lord, open his eyes so that he can see that there be more with us than there are with them. And, hallelujah. And the Bible says that all of the hills and the mountains were covered with the heavenly host. You see, there was a reality, a parallel reality. A parallel reality that was going on right then and there. The same thing with you and me. There is a parallel reality. There is an actual heaven. And that heaven spills over into our lives whenever we open ourselves up to worship. Bible talks about Jesus at a certain point after his resurrection, his ascension, as he's going upward, the Bible says that he was kind of caught into a cloud. Now, that doesn't mean that he just kind of went higher and higher into, it meant that he was caught into the Shekinah, the glory cloud. So when you and I would walk into that Holy of Holies, besides seeing the heavens depicted all around us, as in the days of Elisha and Gehazi, we would have seen the glory cloud. We would have walked right into this glorious place. Just because we happened to build that portable tabernacle, just because we decided to pray, or we decided to give thanks to God, we decided to lift up our heart to God. We decided to concern ourselves with the things of God. We decided to allow the Holy Scriptures to just turn over in our minds. We decided to ruminate and to meditate upon the things of God. And all of a sudden, heaven opened. And all of a sudden, we are caught up into the glory cloud. You understand that can happen right smack in the midst of the wilderness. You understand that can happen in the coldest of nights or in the hottest of days. You understand that can happen with the nations round about. The Bible says, why do the heathen rage and why do the peoples imagine vain things? No matter what might be coming against you in the spirit or in the flesh, at any given time you can decide to build a portable tabernacle. At any given time, you can decide to build a tent in the wilderness. At any given time, whether you're waking or whether you are asleep. You know, sometimes when you're asleep, the enemy might try to attack you. At any given time, you can cry out to God. And you can say, God, help me. God, give me strength. God, help me to overcome. At any given time, you can. You know, the Bible was talking about Herod's temple, and it said it was 46 years in the building, and it was still incomplete. But it don't take no time to build up a tabernacle. At any given time, you put that thing together. Remember, they used to have to do that. They used to have to tear it down and build it up, and tear it down and build it up, and tear it down and build it up. They were learning a pattern. See, the tabernacle is that kind of thing that allows you to worship anywhere. You know, the strangest thing about it is God never told the children of Israel to build a temple, but he did tell them to build a tabernacle. It was David's idea to build the temple. And God said to David, I never asked you to build me a house. He said, in all the time that you were walking around in the wilderness, not knowing where you were going, and so on and so forth, did I ever ask anybody to build me a house? He never asked anybody to build him a house, but he did ask them to build a temple, or rather a tabernacle, a tent. This portable thing that you just put together. The only thing that gives it any glory or splendor is the presence. The presence of God. And the only thing I think that made it noteworthy besides that was that they built it in the midst of nowhere. They built it in the midst of barrenness. They built it in the midst of darkness. They built it in the midst of the elements. They built it in the midst of difficulty, of hardship, of fear, of worry, of concern. But they still built it. No matter what was going on in their hearts or in their minds, they still built it. Sometimes they went days without having anything to eat. Sometimes days without having anything to drink. Sometimes they wandered in circles and trying to figure out where they were. But they built that tabernacle. It was an awesome thing. They would walk in there and be reminded that no matter where I am, I can just take one step and automatically I am in the heavenlies. Automatically I move in another way. I move into another dimension. When you pray, when you seek God, when you open your Bible, when you choose to give thanks to God and to just bless His name, no matter where you are, you automatically enter into another realm. And you are caught up into the Shekinah. Caught up into the presence of God. And even though you're in a difficult place, there's something in you that realizes you are all of a sudden in a glorious place. In a wonderful place. Imagine that person walking into the Holy of Holies. Outside, the wolves, right, are howling. And the wind is blowing, or the rain is falling, or it's been days and days and days since there's been any rain or any kind of moisture. And some people are worried and some people are wondering. They don't know where they are. They don't know where they're going. They're not used to this. And your heart is worried. Your heart is wondering, why am I here? Where I thought, you know, such and such was going to happen. And all of a sudden you say, you know, I'm going to go into the tabernacle. And I'm going to go into the Holy of Holies. And all of a sudden, you're caught into the presence. You understand? The wolves don't stop howling. You just don't care anymore. You know what I mean? The wind doesn't stop blowing. In fact, it might even sound louder in there. I remember one time I was in a certain place doing a tent meeting. And I mean, the wind was blowing, and in that tent, it just felt like that thing was going to fall down over you at any given time. And it was one of those huge tents. But the wind was just swinging that thing hither and yon. And it's the same thing. You'd have been in that temple. And it wouldn't have been like everything stopped. It would just been like somehow you entered into a place where you realized there'd be more with us than there are with them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You just enter into a mindset, into a spiritual place where you begin to see life for what it actually is. You begin to see both, as it were, dimensions of reality. Not just what the enemy is trying to present to you, but what God is saying to you. And you're caught up into this glory. And I imagine when that person is caught up into that glory, there might even be, at that stage, some regrets. My goodness, I can't believe that I was so afraid, or I can't believe that it took me so long to build this tabernacle. I can't believe. And then all of a sudden, he would have realized, not only is this a glorious place, and not only have I been given the wonderful privilege of acknowledging the glory of God, but he would have just taken a quick glance over and he would have seen the Ark of the Covenant. And he would have realized this is a glorious place and I am fully welcome here. This is a glorious place that happens to be my home. This is a home away from home. It's a home that you and I can enter into no matter where we happen to be. No matter how far from home you might feel at times, or no matter how far home feels away from you, Those times when heaven feels like it's a million miles away. At any given time, you can build a tabernacle. And you can enter into that place and you can experience the wonderful love and friendship and fellowship of God. And as the enemy tries to lie to you and say, why did it take you so long to build this tabernacle? Or why did you allow fear to come into your heart? Or and he's going to try to push you out of that place. You understand? At that point, you choose to behold the Ark of the Covenant. And you choose to look at this relationship that God has chosen to call us into. And you say, I may not have belonged in Egypt, and I may not feel at home in this wilderness. Many of us as Christians know that on a certain level, we have not yet reached our home. Again, there's an already but not yet element of it. But there is something about prayer, something about studying the Holy Scriptures, something about singing songs to God, something about fellowshipping with God's community, something about opening our hearts to God's truths and concerning ourselves with those truths, something about simply lifting up our hands in worship and in praise. Something about allowing ourselves to think about God and to do what Paul said to do in when he's writing to the Philippians and to think on certain things that basically brings the peace of God to our heart. Something about that that transports us to home, no matter where we happen to be. When you and I get to heaven, it's not going to be a strange place to us. We're going to know it as though we had been there before. When they begin to sing the songs, the heavenly hosts begin to sing their songs, we're not going to have to pull out a hymnal. You know what I'm saying? There ain't going to be anything on the overhead. But there's not going to have to be because we're going to know those songs. We're going to know it as though we had sung with the angels for all of our life. Hallelujah. We're going to enter into heaven as though we'd been there before, as though we'd been there many, 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 many times. Because there is a part of us that has. The devil wants to try and tell us that we're a million miles from home. But at any given time, we can access the heart of heaven. At any given time, I'll say this and I close. I mentioned already, God never asked David or anybody else to build him a temple. Problem with temples are they can become an object of worship rather than a place of worship. And people begin to look at the temple and say, wow, how glorious is this thing? The same way the disciples did. And Jesus said, I'm telling you, not one stone will rest upon another. I don't, and you ought never to, idolize, if you will, our prayer life or our study times and things like that. Your prayers didn't die for you on Calvary's tree. Your Bible study hour didn't die for you on Calvary's tree. And it ought never to be idolized. We don't pray because, for instance, it's going to make God like us a little bit more. One of the awesome things about prayer is it tends to make us like God a little bit more. Right? It tends to make us more likely to say amen to him. But the thing about the tabernacle is there was no pomp, no ceremony. It was a place to access the reality of God in the midst of some of the most difficult circumstances conceivable. If we get to the point where our prayers and our worship and our songs and things of that nature become an end in themselves, and we forget God, then we don't access heaven anymore. We just get caught up in a routine. My prayer for me personally, and I think it would impact this community as well, is that no matter how long I do what I do, no matter how long I preach and so on and so forth, I never, ever, ever, ever approach this pulpit without having accessed heaven, without having been accessible to heaven. I'm not interested in building temples because God never asked me to. What I am interested in is at any given time being able to put together a little tent where I can open my heart to heaven, no matter how difficult, no matter how dark, no matter how bright and blazing the sun is, no matter the winds, no matter the rains, no matter the wolves, no matter the nations, I want to be able at any given time, because remember, that's the way the tabernacle worked. They had to build it up, and they broke it down, and they moved, and they built it up again. They broke it down, and they moved, and they built it up, and they broke it down, and they moved. Just like you and I. We just go through life. We go through our days. When the Shekinah moves, we move. And we just build it up again, and build it up again, and build it up again, and build it up again. And you read the scriptures, and you're going to see them doing that over and over again. And part of you might say, why does the Lord constantly ask them to build it up and break it down, and build it up and break it down, and build it up and break it down? It's so that they could learn that no matter where they were, they could worship God. Hallelujah. 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 No matter what the circumstance. For me, I'm not interested in building temples so that I could look at its splendor and say how glorious my prayer life, right? How wonderful my songs, you know what I mean? How special my preaching and all this madness. I want to worship my Jesus. I want to love him with all my heart. Hallelujah. I just want to bless his name and honor him. And I want to be able to do it when heaven feels like it's a million miles away. I want to know, and I say this in close, that I have a home away from home. There are people in this room who are going through some difficult times. And you kind of get a sense that God wants you to build a temple. But the problem with the temple is it's got to be done in a place that's already established, when all of the promises have been fulfilled. And it's got to be done with glory and splendor and pomp and ceremony. And it takes a long time to build one. And above everything else, God never asked you to build a temple. You think that you got to get it all together before you can begin to worship. I'm telling you, it's not the truth. What God is saying is, I just want you to build a tent. It doesn't have to be this. It doesn't have to be that. Just a place of worship. A place where you can give God glory. And it's a situation where you don't have to have had everything come together first. Right here, right now. Right where you are. You can build a temple, rather a tabernacle, and God will visit you there. I want to pray with you this afternoon. And I want to overcome with you a lie that the devil is trying to tell you, that you got to get it all together first. And everything around you has got to be what it's ultimately going to be. And you have got to have entered into the promise already. I'm telling you, brother, sister, God never asked you to build him a temple. He asked you to build him a tabernacle. He asked you to just worship him where you are and give him your trust. Let's stand together in the house of the Lord. There's always one more thing that needs to be said, and so on. So at some point, you just got to say amen and trust God. God never asked you to build him a temple. He did ask you to build him a tabernacle. He didn't ask you to get it all together before you began to worship and praise him. He asked you to praise him where you are. If God is speaking to your heart and you want to pray, you simply want to build a tabernacle right where you are, no matter what you're going through, no matter what, you want to build a tabernacle right where you are, then I want to pray with you and rejoice with you and believe God with you. Front of the auditorium is open. You can begin to come, and we will pray together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible, when it reminds us of the final time and the new heavens and the new earth and the new Jerusalem, reminds us that there is no temple there. That the Lord is the temple. And so the Lord said, in all the times that I was dwelling in tents, did I ever ask you to build me a house? Huh? All he's asking is that he be our home. That he be our home away from home. That no matter where we are at any given time, we can simply talk to him. Okay? Simply love him. Simply bless him. Simply concern ourselves with his heart, right? Anywhere. Anywhere in life. Any time of day or night, you can just access him, love him, bless him, worship him, call upon him, give him glory, because he is your Father, and he loves you so deeply, so tenderly. Nothing, you understand, nothing can take that from you. If you choose to access it, nobody can say no. It's the one thing that you have in this generation that nobody can say no about. Nobody can tell you, wait till tomorrow. Nobody can tell you, you don't qualify for this. Nobody can tell you that. You open up your heart to the Lord and heaven opens. It just opens. Hallelujah. And nothing can come between you and God. To me, that's awesome. To me, that's wonderful. The devil can't say no to me. You see what I mean? Circumstances can't say no to me. Religion can't say no to me. Background can't say no to me. Fear can't say no to me. Doubt can't say no to me. Nothing can say no to me. When I open up my Bible, there's nothing anybody or anything can do. Right? When I open myself up in prayer, nothing, any devil, nothing, any... The Bible says that. Nothing can stand between you and me and the love of God. Nothing. And so at any given time, hallelujah, you could just build your tent. And nobody can tell you, you can't build a tent here. Nobody can tell you, you don't have enough rent to build a tent here. You can't hang here. Nobody can tell you that. At any time. At any time. Hallelujah. I'm about ready to go to another sermon. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your wonderful, wonderful, wonderful presence. Thank you that through the blood of Jesus Christ, we can all enter in. That priest entered into the Holy of Holies just because he had the blood. Just because he had the blood. And we can enter in, Lord, when you laid your life down on Calvary's tree. The curtain that enclosed the Holy of Holies was rent asunder, torn in two. And we've been given full access into the fullness of your grace at any given time. We can enter in, as the Bible says, with boldness.
God, in Jesus' name, we come against any lie that says we have to take 46 years to build a temple. A temple that you said not one stone will rest upon another. A temple that your word says will not exist in this new place because you'll be the temple. The temple that you said, when I was dwelling in tents, I never asked you to build me a temple. I never asked you to get it all together. I never asked you to work it all out. I never asked you to wait until everything was right. I asked you to praise me where you are, to worship me where you are, to bless me where you are. And I'll take you from point A to point B. I'll take you into the promise. Father, thank you. We do so truly love you. Lord, I pray for my brothers and my sisters in Jesus' name. Oh God, in Jesus' name, lay your hand upon each one because there's nothing we can do without you. We need you. Holy Spirit, open to us just a glimpse of the heavenlies and let us be reminded that there be more with us than there are with them. That we are your people, we are your children. That this is your house, that this is your praise, it's your glory, it's your word, it's your promise, it's your integrity, it's your character, it's your testimony, it's your name. And you're not going to fail. So we choose to worship you where we are. And to allow you to draw us into the heavenlies. We say along with Jesus, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now we thank you for your wonderful presence in our midst. Thank you for your tender embrace. We ask that your name be glorified in it. We thank you for it. We bless you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. God bless you. God bless you so very much. Praise the Lord.